My Music. A panel game devised by Tony Schrein and Edward J. Mason. Chairman, Steve Race.
One thing about this series, you never know what sort of music you're going to hear. But you do know who you're going to meet. Here they are. John Amos and Frank Muir versus Ian Wallace and Dennis Norton. While in charge of the score is our walking computer, Mary Bell. That's who we are. Where we are is on the stage of London's Westminster Theatre, within the sound, if not of Bow Bells, and certainly of Big Ben. John, whence comes this bell ringing? Stuff.
It's a symphony by Gustav Mahler.
Yes.
Boys' Chorus, number 3 in D minor.
That's right, number 3, the start of the 5th movement, that's right. In English, ding dong, but in the German they're singing bim bam, which is even more onomatopoeic.
Really, sometimes bim bum, too. Bim bum. But it has to be translated into English.
From Mahler's 3rd symphony, you're right. Frank, this is a matter not so much of language for you as of accent. The singer you'll hear is obviously affecting a foreign accent. What nationality is he supposed to be, and what nationality is he really?
Some enchanted evening, you may see a stranger. You may see a stranger.
You get that, a crowded room.
It is our beloved Ian.
It is, that's right. And what is he supposed to be?
He's trying to be Mongolian. And it comes from the Outer Hebrides. Or...
It was made many, many, many years ago.
We all were, Ian. It's an excuse.
You thought you'd bought up all the copies of that, yes. Didn't you?
Yes, I thought I had the last 2 in my attic.
Ian as the French planter Émile Debecq in the South Pacific. But what is your nationality? Because you weren't quite born in the place where your heart resides, were you?
No, I am a Scot who was born in London to save the fair.
But you should be Fife, shouldn't you? Yes. The kingdom.
Yes. Well, my father was from Fife. My mother's from Glasgow.
Mm. Ian, your turn. One of these duettists you'll hear singing in Italian is not Italian, and the other isn't either. Who are they, and where are they from?
Well, they are sitting in an attic in Paris towards the beginning of the last century, one in front of an easel, the other at a table, unable to write anything, although he's a poet, and they're both looking into the middle distance, thinking about the girls they love and who seem to have deserted them.
Yes. Oh. When I said, who are they, I meant who are the singers.
Yeah, well, that gave me a little time to... That's what's called thinking on your... Well, not on your feet, but... I'm not absolutely... It's from the 4th act of La Bohème.
Yes, which is well identified. Yes. Lovely duet, yeah.
And I think the tenor is Spanish.
Yes, Plácido Domingo.
Yes. I'm not quite sure... Is it Robert Merrill, the other one?
No, but you've got the right nationality. I'll give you a hint. His first name's Cheryl.
Oh, Cheryl Milnes.
Yes, Cheryl Milnes. You worked your way to a perfect
mark. I think it's one of the most beautiful bits of that opera.
It is. It's my favourite duet. Mm. Yeah. Dennis, Milnes again in a 200-year-old operatic aria, but why on earth should this make me think of Tim Rice?
Oh, Richard, oh,
Tim Rice.
Well, the only reason I can think of why it makes you think of Tim Rice is because everything makes you think of Tim Rice, and that's just envy.
I think actually he's singing about Cowie, isn't he?
I couldn't make out. Was it?
Well, I tell you, he said the first words were "Oh Richard, oh mon roi."
Oh well, then it's that King
may
Richard.
Give you a slight hint.
Yes. I fathomed that was French.
Yes.
It's
from an opera by Gretry.
Good.
Richard Coeur de Lion, in fact.
So there we would probably have some connection with Tim Rice's latest oeuvre, which is Blondel.
Blondel, the story, that's right, the story of the man who went and found Richard the... Yes, etc. Right, I think he's got them. Four notes up the scale and three notes down again. John, what's this, or at any rate, who wrote it? From a sonata.
From a sonata?
Hmm.
Is that the way it's played?
No.
I'm sorry, I don't mean to be rude, but I mean, is it on a fiddle?
It's played on a fiddle. Mm. Yeah.
It's very like that spring sonata of Beethoven, but I don't think it is.
No, but you've got the composer. Beethoven, sonata number 4, A minor, opus 23. 4 violin and piano. Fair enough. Bop-bom, bop-bom.
Goes rather quicker than that, yeah.
Frank, the same 4 notes up and then down again, but in a very recognisable rhythm.
But it's all in the game.
Yes, absolutely. Ian, same starting notes.
A little white gardenia.
Yes, a little white gardenia. Dennis, I'll be interested to see how quickly you can name yours, because although you'll recognise it right away, the actual title doesn't come till the very end of the song.
It's not called Is It an Earthquake?
No,
I'm thinking of Is It At Long Last Love?
At Long Last Love, yes, that's right.
Actually, that was the song when Cole Porter was thrown from his horse and had that terrible accident that affects him for the rest of his life. He said that while he was lying on the ground waiting for help, he worked on the lyric of At Long Last Love.
That's genius.
Yes.
Because he broke both
sides. Oh, well, he was, yes.
Terrible. Good Lord. I've been digging down in the old 78s in the BBC record library and emerging with, I think, some minor treasures. John, World War II, morale needs a boost, of course. Is this the way to do it? And whose is the voice?
We're on the right side, and it's easy to survive. Looking on the bright side, we're all young and healthy and we're all alive. We've got a lot to be thankful for. So let's get together and sing.
You know the voice?
No. Dennis obviously knows.
Is it Ralph Reeder?
Yes, Frank's got it. Ralph Reeder. Yes. On the other side of Crest of the Wave, I think. We've got a lot to be thankful for. Frank, a happy sound from the past. Nat Gonella's Georgians here, playing a bit of jolly jazz. When we've heard a snatch, can you tell us why it was called the Corrigan Hop? Corrigan.
Lovely, sort of isn't vigorous, dirty noise.
Yes, lovely. Right. Lovely stuff. Corrigan.
Corrigan was an airman.
Yes.
He was an airman who went wrong. He got
one way and couldn't get back or something, didn't they?
You've got the mark. I'll give you the fact. Douglas Corrigan, July 1938, claiming that he'd intended to fly from New York to Los Angeles, took off in the wrong direction, landed near Dublin. And became known as Wrong Way Corrigan. But something I didn't notice when I looked this up, he'd been the mechanic who rolled out the Spirit of St. Louis for Lindbergh in 1927.
It's a small world.
It was in the blood. It was in the blood. The Corrigan.
I actually met him.
Did you?
Yes.
Douglas Corrigan.
Just actually hearing mention of his name just now reminds me something that I never thought of ever since it happened, and that was when I went to America before the war and was up on the top of the 82nd floor of the Empire State Building and got involved in doing a radio interview. They had a sort of the equivalent of a kind of In Town Tonight program going on, and one of the other people who was on it was this... Mr. Corrigan, who, as they say, had flown the Atlantic the wrong way round.
Yeah, that's the one. The Corrigan hop.
You didn't say you met him in a one-way street.
Yeah. Or he meant to go to the basement.
He was. The memory I have of him was that he was rather small and rather shy and a little frightened of the publicity that he did
a little lost, you might
as
say.
As well he might be.
Ian, another hop, this time the Lindy Hop, named after Lindbergh. The singer, and incidentally a very good jazz pianist, born in 1903, married King Oliver's second trumpet player, who was a lad from a waif's home. Lovely little bit of piano play.
My companion and mentor tells me that he thinks it might be Mrs. Louis Armstrong.
Yes, Lil Armstrong. Yes. That's right. And for the other half, Mark, can you give a passable imitation of her husband?
Well, as I got to sing later in the program, I'd ask to be excused.
Wagon train, I recognise. Dennis, this really is unusual. Clearly, it's wartime propaganda. We got a lot of that in the early 1940s, but listen very closely.
Mrs. Smith is telling all the neighbors here today, young Bert has written home to say no presents on the way. Everybody gathered round to hear the letter read, and they didn't half get excited, for this is what it said. Dear Ma, I'm feeling rather done. My washing on the Siegfried line has done a bunk and gone.
My washing on the Siegfried line has done a bunk and run.
I wouldn't have known this except that there's an excellent series that Alistair Cook did, and he played an example of the way the Germans had taken our popular songs and put other lyrics, and particularly the rather chauvinist songs that we were singing at that time. That's obviously based on Dear Mama, I'm having lots of fun, I'm sending you the Siegfried line instead. But the one that he played was a very good one. I think it was the same singer.
The other
that
side, it's on the other side.
Is it Bye Bye Empire?
It's Churchill, supposed to be Churchill, singing Bye Bye Empire.
That's right, yeah. This Bye Bye Bluebird. Yeah.
Charlie and his orchestra.
Charlie.
And the point is, of course, it's German propaganda during the start of the Second World War aimed at us in a sort of Lord Haw-Haw sense. Mm. I love it in the verse when he says, they all gathered around to hear the letter read, and this is what it said.
Didn't affect me.
Mm-hmm. There's something particularly Teutonic, actually, about the middle bit. Listen.
I couldn't bring a little souvenir for Mary, 'cause I met a German soldier who sent me back to Tipperary.
it sounds for all the world like John doing a German conductor.
Thorban, Charlie. At this point, Ian and John, or John and Ian, answer a question. Or rather, whichever of them gets the answer first wins the point for his side. So sing out, interrupt me, John or Ian, when you know who I'm describing. He was born in Czechoslovakia. He was accompanist to the violinist Jan Kubelik. He emigrated to America in 1906, where he composed The Firefly, Rosemary...
Oh, Trimmel.
Thank you. And The Vagabond King.
Himmel.
Ian gets the mark.
Where were you?
Rudolf Trimmel. That's very different. Okay, smarty pants. Here's one. Here's one for you and Dennis, right? Again, the first one to sing out the right answer gets the point. Who's this? His first names were Bentley Collingwood. His voice was quite high in pitch, higher certainly than that of his lifelong partner. He composed The Changing of the Guard and Little...
Flotsam.
I think Frank got it, yes. B.C. Hillingham, Bentley Collingwood Hillingham, half of Flotsam and Jetsam. John, the composer Haydn wrote, "How sweet is liberty! I had a kind prince, but was at times obliged to be dependent on base souls. I often sighed for release, and now I have it." Where did Haydn find that freedom and release?
In London.
That's right. He was in England at the time, yes.
Up to that time, his vision was rather Esterhazy.
Frank, the author, Frank, of the autobiography called Steps in Time, got an Oscar for, I quote, "unique artistry." But the official report on his first screen test was, "can't act, can't sing, can dance a little." Who was he?
Fred Astaire.
Yes, Fred Astaire, after his first screen test. Ian, the famous... Yes.
But it's the first for the show.
No,
it's wonderful.
String of ones all
good
the way
lad.
Down. She's a kind girl, our Mary. Ian, in a famous opera recording, Boris Christoph sang three parts, the title role, the monk Pimen, and Varlam in the inn scene. Which opera?
Seems an extraordinary thing to have done, wasn't it? Because it put two other singers out of a job. But the opera was must have been Boris Godunov.
It was Boris Godunov, yes.
I mean, he was a great singer, Christoph. Mm. But has John any idea why he did that?
Well, I think he did it because Shalyapin did it before him, and anything Shalyapin did, Boris Christoph wanted to do.
Yes. Mm.
I once had a lovely two-word riposte from him. I arranged to go and see him, to interview him at a certain time at the Savoy Hotel, rang him up, and the voice answered, "I'm reposing." End of interview.
Must remember that. Yes. I have a question for you, Dennis, to finish off this round. In 1928, in a show called Sirocco, two brilliant songwriters were booed off the stage and spat at from the gallery. Do you know who they were?
Well, this was one of, I suppose, the most famous first nights in theatrical history, because Sirocco was written by Noel Coward, and the lead was played by Ivan Novello, and for some reason the tide was going against Noel Coward at that time, and the first night audience started murmuring in the first act. They got noisier in the second act. And in the third act, there was a continuous hubbub. And when the curtain went up on the curtain call, there was absolute uproar of booing and catcalls and so on. And Coward, and what I think is a very typical thing, he went down onto the stage to stand by Ivan Novello and take his share of the booing. Now, the girl who played the lead in it was the one who was most popular with the audience. They indicated she should come forward. And this poor girl had rehearsed a speech beforehand. And she stepped forward with tears streaming down her face and said, "This is the happiest evening of my life." Whereupon Coward and Novello, who were standing together, collapsed in a fit of giggles.
Yes, it probably wasn't as bad as the first night of Charles Lamb's one play, a farce called Mr. H, which the audience booed and hissed and catcalled so fiercely that he joined in in case they took him to be the author.
Well, don't go away, because Ramona will be sung, some theatrical advice will be given to another, old-fashioned dancing will be extolled, and a favourite ballad revived, all in these closing minutes. Frank, Ramona, I shall accompany you on the mission dolls above.
I'm not in the mood yet.
Up a bit. That's it. Got it.
Mona, I hear the mission bells above. Ramona, they're ringing out a song of love. I caress you, and bless the day you taught me to care. I'll always remember the rambling words you wore in your ear. Mona, when day is done, you'll hear my call. Mona, we'll meet beside the waterfall. I dread the dawn when I'll awake and find you gone. Ramona, I need you. My
John's advice to a stage-struck daughter.
I think I must just say that it seems that Maurice Chevalier never sang any Noel Coward songs. I think this is a shame.
Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. She's a bit of an ugly duckling, you must honestly confess. And the width of her seat would surely defeat her chances of success. It's a loud voice. It's not exactly flat. She needs a little more than that to earn a living wage. On my knees, Mrs. Worthington. Please, Mrs. Worthington, don't put your daughter on the stage. Don't put your daughter on the stage, Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage. Though they said at the school of acting she was lovely as Bergint, and I'm afraid on the whole an ingenue role would emphasize her squint. She's a big girl, and though a Tina fairly good, she's not the time I ever would be eager to engage. No more but Mrs. Worthington. Not Mrs. Worthington. Don't put your daughter on the stage.
Dennis's song is in the kind of rhythm that would be enormously improved with a little rhythm on the wire brushes. Over to Ian. Ian, you're not doing anything. Would you be kind enough to assist your partner, please? I'll give you... When you found your way in... Ian, I'll give you a jazzman's count-in.
You'll give me what?
A jazzman's count-in. See, how, just a rhythm on your sheet of paper. Like, let me, one, let me try the tempo. One, two, one, two, three, four. That's it. Nice, strict rhythm. Okay, two, four. Here comes your introduction, Dennis.
I love to dance like they used to dance when you held the girl in your arms. No hide and seek, just cheek to cheek. No fun in doing a single when there's no touch, there's no tingle. I love to travel around the floor, holding something more than just air. Come and dance with me. You and I can be Ginger Rogers and Fred Astaire. Tell the band to blow every tune they know and throw in a tango or two. How I love to dance like they used to dance when the girl in my arms is you. And let's hear it for the rhythm section.
There was a man selling Ian's on the pavement outside Selfridges. Batteries not supplied.
I don't know if you noticed, but that's a lovely song, he said. While Ian composes himself after his exertions as a drummer, let me mention just an odd little musical fact. It isn't often that a popular ballad has musical bars of unequal length. This one certainly has. Bars of 2, 3, and 4, all mixed up. Ian, have you got your breath back?
Yes, I never really lost it.
Beside you through the world today, and songs and flowers bless your way. I look into your eyes and hold your hand. I'll walk beside you through the golden land. Beside you through the passing years, through days of cloud and sunshine, joy and tears. And when the great call comes, the sunset gleams, I'll walk beside to the land of dreams.
Song by Major Alan Murray. No major victory this week, just a modest one for John Amos and Frank Muir. Goodbye.
Taking part in My Music were John Amos, Frank Muir, Ian Wallace and Dennis Norden. The chairman was Steve Race. The questions were compiled by Steve Race, and the program was produced by Pete Atkins.